To succeed, just let go. This is Willie Horton, exploring how we must and can take control of our state of mind and transform our lives. You're very welcome.
We're heading towards episode 250 of what is now obviously a long-running podcast about how we can, or indeed perhaps how we must, take control of our state of mind, because otherwise our normal state of mind will run away with us. I can put that another way. As far as the normal mind is concerned, every silver lining has a cloud. Yes, the minute we start thinking about anything, our minds will always lead us towards the negative. It is the way we are built. It is the way that evolution wired us to be negative, is to keep us on our toes and be alert to possible life-threatening situations. That's why we developed that way. Now, I could go into the science in far more detail, but I've already done that in so many episodes before this one. I want to turn every silver lining has a cloud on its head to the way in which we normally use the expression that every cloud has a silver lining. And yet, even though that is a common phrase in everyday use, the normal mind doesn't think that at all. I had a conversation on a program owner Zoom this time last year, and one of the people on that Zoom call was talking about how she and her husband were looking forward to a motoring holiday in Scotland in their brand new camper van. And she told the assembled group that once she started looking forward, her mind started wandering into, what if we get a puncture? What if the new camper van breaks down? What if the boat is delayed? What if we miss the boat? What if we miss the ferry to one of the Scottish islands? What if, what if, what if? And every time we start what-ifing, and you know this as well as I do, every time the normal mind starts what-ifing, we are always led down the dark, dingy passages of negative thought. As I said a minute ago, it's the way we're wired. 2 weeks ago, on another program owner Zoom, we were having a conversation about how we can experience flow when we look after our state of mind. And one of the online program owners interjected with what she termed to be a funny anecdote. And indeed, it was a funny anecdote, but it's not really something that we should be laughing at. How she was reading the news in relation to what is going on in the Middle East at the moment. Indeed, what is going on in Ukraine at the moment, something we are tending to forget right now. And how her 18-year-old son, who had just started university last September, would probably end up dying on one of those front lines. Now, she went through a whole process of normal, crazy thought to lead from somebody who had just gone off to university with the whole of his life ahead of him to dying on the front line. This is a classic example of how the normal, crazy mind works. You may find that extreme. And yet, one particular example that I continually tell people comes from one of my face-to-face workshops in Dublin many, many years ago. I started doing this in 1996. I started podcasting about 5.5 years ago. I've been sending out Thursday morning videos to anybody who signs up for them since December 2008. You'll get more information in relation to everything that I've just said in the links that you'll find in whatever podcast player you're using. I found myself sitting in a room with a group of people, as I often did in Dublin in those days, the late 1990s, with a group of about half a dozen people in a semicircle sat in front of where I was sitting, and we were chatting away for 3 days about how we need to take control of our mind and what we can do to do just that, and how it will change our lives starting straight away, if nothing else, with the realization of how mad our thinking minds actually are. On the third day, at lunchtime, or just before lunchtime on the third day, I suggested to the six people that they might do a walking exercise after lunch, a walking meditation, if you will. Meditation in question is called going for a walk to go for a walk. Now, you see, normally we don't do that. We go for a walk to buy a sandwich to stuff it in our face on the run. We go for a walk to actually run for a train. We used to go for a walk to get to the bank before it closed, but those days are gone. We always have an ulterior motive in doing most of the things that we do, even if it is something as simple as having a morning cup of coffee. We'll gulp down the morning cup of coffee to get on to the next thing we're doing, or indeed while we're having our morning cup of coffee, we will be thinking about things that haven't happened yet, or worse, things that we would wish might never befall us. It's called worrying, and it's a normal, crazy, everyday activity that the normal, crazy mind engages in. But we're never just doing what we're doing. And until we attune ourselves, attune our minds to just do what we're doing, our minds are always going to be somewhere else. We're going to explore that more in just a minute. Anyway, I sent this group of people out to go for a walk, to go for a walk. And they got instructions on how to do just that. The instructions were designed to enable them pay attention to our only contact with the outside world, our five senses. Now, when the normal mind sees, feels, hears, smells, and tastes anything, it interprets and reinterprets what the five senses are telling it and comes up with its own version of the reality of the moment based on how we feel about ourselves, what we think about ourselves, how who we think we are thinks about what is going on in the here and now, or indeed who we think we are thinks about who we're confronted by and what they think about themselves. In other words, there's far too much thinking going on. And that is how, using a process known as cognitive appraisal, the normal mind makes up its mind with regard to what is actually going on in the here and now. And as we've explored in many of the episodes in this podcast before, in undertaking that activity of cognitive appraisal, the normal thinking mind uses data that it learned when we were young and impressionable. To put it simply, as a 67-year-old, I'm talking about myself now, if I were to use my mind normally in 2026, in order to understand, or at least think I'm understanding, what's going on here this week in March 2026, I would use information that I learned around 1959, 1960, 1961. There isn't a chance in hell that I will know exactly what is going on. And if I even have an approximate understanding of what is going on, it's still going to be at best just that, and it will be dumb luck. The normal person doesn't understand what's going on because of this process known as cognitive appraisal. Until you take control of your state of mind, you're always going to be in that sinking boat along with 96% of normal crazy people in this world. That is why I sent these six people out to go for a walk, to go for a walk, to pay attention to what their five senses were telling them. So they were told to go out and see, feel, hear, smell, and taste where they are. And when their mind wandered, not if, it's an inevitability, when their mind wandered, to come back to using their five senses in the order in which I have just given them to you. See, feel, hear, smell, and taste. We had our lunch. They went out for a walk, to go for a walk, individually, as instructed. And about 20 minutes later, the first of them came back. And I said, Donald, how did you get on? They said, that was awful. Really, really awful. He said, I am finally aware of how mad I am. Now, by the way, that is not the first step on the road to awareness. That is awareness. That is self-awareness. And the minute we become self-aware, everything changes in our lives, even if that awareness is only fleeting and for a couple of moments. It is a major leap forward because 96% of people are buried in thought, lost in thought, and they don't know they are lost in the world of their own thoughts. I said to Donald, what happened? He said, I was walking down the hill towards the pub at the bottom of the hill, and I could feel the summer breeze on my face. I could feel the warm summer sun on my forehead. I could smell the hedge. I could see the leaves of the trees gently fluttering in that summer breeze. I could actually see the veins in the leaves of the hedge. I could feel the muscles in my legs. I could feel my feet striking the pavement. I could smell the fumes coming from the passing cars. I could hear the hum of their tires on the surface of the road. And one particular car went past, a red BMW. And I said to myself, ooh, that's a nice car. Now, that's not a negative thought, but it is, nevertheless, a thought. And thoughts are like cigarettes. They travel in packs of 20. Or, in fact, more to the point, they actually travel in those big duty-free packs of 200. Once you give your attention to a single thought, there is another thought waiting to latch onto it. And that will always take you down into the negative. What happened, Donald, in the space of, oh, the twinkling of an eye is how he described it to me. He said, I looked at the car, the red BMW, and I said to myself, ooh, that's a nice car. I'd fancy myself in that car. That's thought number two. Thought number three, there's a BMW dealer up the top of the hill. And if we finish early this evening, I might go in and sit in one of those cars. Now, that's thought number three and number four. And it goes on and on and on. He said, I might even organise a test drive. Now, so far, all this is positive. But what came next? Why would you annoy yourself by organising a test drive for a car that you can't afford? That was his next thought. And then he said to himself, well, I can't afford a car like that. And truth be told, if things keep going the way they're going from a business point of view right now, I probably can't afford the holiday that I have booked for myself, my wife, and the girls this summer. You see where this is going, don't you? What happened next? He thought that if things really go pear-shaped from a business point of view, he wouldn't be able to afford the girls' school fees come autumn. As he said to me, in the twinkling of an eye, I went from admiring a red BMW to thinking that I wouldn't be able to afford to pay our mortgage and that we would lose our house. Trains of thought. Once we allow ourselves to be swept up on one of those trains of thought, we're lost in the world of thought. Now, the truth of the matter is that that's just an example of what is going on in most people's minds every day. But more to the point, it is an example of somebody who was, as a result of having been given instructions with regard to how to pay attention to his senses, it's an example of somebody having self-awareness dawn on them. Now, that's really important. You don't go looking to become self-aware. You don't go looking for awareness. These things dawn on you when you practice investing your energy and attention in what is going on in the here and now. And when you start doing that, you begin to realize the flip side of the coin of the title of this week's episode. Every cloud actually does have a silver lining, for the simple reason that it doesn't matter what is going on in your life. It doesn't matter what is going on in the world. We'll come back to that in a minute. It doesn't matter what's happening to you today, what challenges you have, even if they are health challenges. We might come back to that as well. We have covered physical health, healthy mind, healthy body, a couple of times in this podcast in the past. It doesn't matter what is going on in the outside world. What matters is what is going on in your inside world. What you think about what is going on is always going to see you wrong. What you think about who you think you are is always going to see you wrong. What you think about your perceived weaknesses and indeed your perceived strengths, because they are only perceptions too, will always see you wrong. As long as you are thinking, you are not present. And as long as you are not present, your life is passing you by. So many people over the years, I've been doing this more than 30 years, have said to me, oh, I hate myself, or I hate my life, or nobody loves me, or I've never been happy in my life. All the nonsense that comes spewing out from our normal way of thinking. All big sweeping statements that have nothing to do with the reality of who we are or the reality of the moment. All based on toxic thought that rattles around in the normal, crazy person's head every day since they were 12 or 13 years old. All crap that they learned when they were young and impressionable. Why do you think the word impressionable is used? Why do you think that children, young children, are described as little people going around soaking up everything that's going on like sponges? Because that's what we do when we are living through our formative years. When we are young and impressionable, soaking up everything like a sponge, learning who we think we are and learning how we think the world works. And it's all nonsense. And it is all proven nonsense to the individual who takes charge of their own state of mind and turns their attention to what they are seeing, feeling, hearing, smelling and tasting in the here and now. Because the first thing that does is it stops the flow of cortisol, the stress neurotransmitter, that otherwise flows into the body from the kind of useless thought that we've been talking about over the last couple of minutes. And that is why we've had so many episodes on healthy mind, healthy body, because obviously once you stop that bad stuff flowing into the system, your heart rate softens, your blood pressure drops, and your cardiovascular system becomes healthier, and indeed so do your digestive and immune systems. We're talking about something even more fundamentally important than your physical health or indeed your mental health. Right now, we're talking about the very essence of your being. And if you are buried in thought, you don't know who you are. You're not a human being. You are some kind of thinking machine that is lost to the world, missing in action, your life passing you by. So when we use our minds normally and when we think and when we think that every silver lining has indeed a cloud, we are missing the very moments of our lives. If you're using your mind normally right now, your life is ebbing away one moment at a time. You're missing it and you're not aware that you're missing it. But if you are experiencing the reality of the moment, if you are immersed in what is actually happening now, regardless of what it is, we'll come back to that in a moment, regardless of what it is, if you are immersed in the reality of the moment, science tells us, first of all, that your own body's energy is flowing unimpeded and freely, hence again, healthy mind, healthy body, but you're actually flowing in concert with universal energy, and the electromagnetic pulse that your free-flowing energy is producing is talking to universal energy, which is listening, which will enable you to push your best foot forward moment to moment, so that you spot opportunity, so that you create synchronicity, so that all that is best falls into your path. It's a little bit like the awareness and self-awareness a couple of minutes ago that I mentioned. You don't go looking for self-awareness, it dawns on you. You don't go looking for what you want, you get what you want when you stop wanting. You get all that is best for you when you start being. So rather than letting our lives ebb away, rather than missing our lives as a result of being lost in thought, it is important to the world and important for each of us that we experience the reality of the moment, regardless of what is going on. In this moment, all is well. And that's a decision that we make in our own state of mind. We've talked a couple of weeks ago about peace of mind. And on an online program owner's Zoom a couple of weeks ago, it dawned on somebody in that conversation that peace of mind comes from within. It's kind of obvious when you reflect on it. Peace of mind. It's my mind that gives me peace. It is my mind that gives me happiness. It is my mind that gives me joy. It is my mind that gives me clarity to understand what is actually going on in the moment, regardless of how challenging it might be. Now, the problem with the normal mind is that it is confronted, as we all are, by challenges every day. But the normal mind starts thinking about whether little old me is up to the challenge. Now, you see, when we're using our minds normally, we always think that I am little old me, because that is what we learned, in particular, when we took psychological snapshots, negative ones, during the third year of our lives, that gave us all our perceived inadequacies and our perceived weaknesses, our understanding of who we think we are, our so-called conceptual self. So if we're using our mind normally, when we're confronted by the inevitable challenges of everyday life, we will magnify those challenges. We will drip cortisol into our system. We will become stressed and magnify the challenges even more, and confirm to ourselves, as a result of not rising to the challenge, that little old me wasn't up to the challenge in the first place. Every silver lining has a cloud to the normal, crazy thinking mind. Free yourself. Free yourself from thought. Realize that, as I said a moment ago, regardless of what is going on in the here and now, every cloud has a silver lining. Right now, you are breathing in and out. And without being negative about it, I know plenty of people who would have given body parts to have another day of breathing in and out. Those who have passed. You're breathing in and out. There's a joy to breathing in and out. Now, because you're breathing in and out all of the time, thankfully, you don't realize that there is a joy to it until you stop to enjoy yourself. Joy is something we give ourselves. And that is why, if you look online, for example, for simple advice with regard to reducing your heart rate or your blood pressure, or giving yourself a moment of peace and quiet when it comes to a stressful situation, one of the key things, and it goes back thousands of years, this bit of advice, one of the key things that you would be advised to do is take a couple of nice, long, slow, deep breaths. And notice them. In other words, pay attention to what you're feeling. One of the most fundamental ways of meditating. Yes, we mentioned meditating quite late in this particular episode. That's unusual. One of the most fundamental and simplest ways of meditating is to pay attention to how you feel when you breathe. Now, people get confused in relation to this, because most people, and many of the people with whom I've worked over the last 30 years, think that a breathing meditation is paying attention to your breathing. No, it's not. Breathing meditation is using your breathing to pay attention to how you feel when you're breathing. Because ultimately, meditation is an exercise in feeling who we are. What do I mean by that? Getting a feel for the reality of my flowing energy at this moment in time. You see, 96% of people using their mind normally think they know who they are. It is what I referred to a couple of minutes ago, in which cognitive psychology has referred to for the last number of decades as the conceptual self, your personality, your ego, who you think you are. Obviously, it's not who you are, because it is who you think you are. And the thoughts that create this conceptual self were learned by you when you didn't know how to sift the good, the bad, and the ugly things that were happening to you that gave rise to you learning who you thought you were when you were 2 or 3 years old. You are not your conceptual self. You are not your conceptual self's behaviours. Now, this is really important because an awful lot of people say to me, oh, I did this or I did that, or I made this mistake in the past, or I did that, or I made this awful decision in the past. How can I trust myself to make the right decision now, given all the bad decisions I've made in the past? And I keep saying to them, you didn't make those bad decisions. You didn't do those bad things. It was your conceptual self, not the real you. You need to learn to trust yourself by knowing yourself. And that's what I meant a minute ago, by feeling how it feels when you breathe, so you get to know who you are. The deeper you get into meditation, you'll begin to feel what you are, the flowing energy, the electromagnetic pulse that I mentioned a few minutes ago. Your life depends upon you experiencing this. Because if you're not experiencing it, you're not living. Your life depends upon it. The lives of those you love depend upon it too. For the simple reason that if we're lost in thought, we're not there for those around us, we're misbehaving. It's our conceptual self that's doing the misbehaving, but that's neither here nor there. In the cut and thrust of the moment, if you're lost in thought, you're misbehaving in ways that would never happen were you present in the moment, feeling what it's like to be alive. So your life depends upon experiencing how it feels when you breathe in and out. Those you love, they depend upon it. Because when you are in that state of mind, having taken control of your state of mind, when you are present, when you are in flow, your presence is attractive to those around you. Now, we all know that anyway. It's nice to be in the presence of people who have so-called charisma, and it's a killer to be in the presence of somebody who's buried in the world of thought, what my wife calls an energy vampire, and there's loads of those around. Your life depends upon it. The lives of those you love depend upon it. Because when we're operating from our conceptual self, we're spreading the chaos. When we're present and operating from flow, we're spreading the calm. And the world needs that calm at this stage. And that's why I said a few minutes ago, this world of ours depends on you turning up to the here and now. You have a greater responsibility than just the responsibility to yourself. And I think it's important, first of all, that we realize that first and foremost, we actually have the responsibility for ourselves. If you don't take responsibility for yourself, you're a danger, not just to yourself, but to everybody that you claim to love, to everybody around you, and the world at large. And that is why the world at large is in the mess it's in at this moment in time. People aren't just buried in their own thoughts, they're buried in the thoughts of people that they come across on social media. They're buried in the thoughts of leaders, so-called leaders, who are manipulating the thoughts of the masses. We can actually see that for real in terms of how the media is being controlled by some of these so-called leaders at this moment in time. We need to let all that go. You see, we don't need to fight it. All we need to do is let it go. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. How do we let it go? We breathe in and out, and we feel what it's like to breathe in and out. Now, this is important stuff. I mentioned early on in this episode that you'll find out more about this using the links in your podcast player. First of all, perhaps to sign up for my free weekly videos. There's nearly 1,000 of them at this stage, stretching back over nearly 18 years. There's also a link just to my main website, which you can poke around. This is important stuff. And because it is so important, over the course of the coming months, I'm going to release, little by little, some of the audios to open Zoom conversations that I've had with, obviously, the world at large, not just with my online program owners, over the last few years, where we explore in more detail, and particularly in the context of my answering the questions of people who are trying to figure this out for themselves, where we explore in more detail how we can change our lives. And as I said early on when we were talking about the red BMW in this episode, the minute you become self-aware, in other words, aware that you're thinking the thoughts that are leading you away from the reality of the here and now, once you become self-aware, you are self-aware. And you realize that you are not who you thought you were. You realize that the world works in a different way. You realize that in the moment, all is well. And you realize, in experiencing that, that you can not just be calm, but you can spread the calm. And that creates a world of difference.
You've been listening to Succeed, Just Let Go. Hope you've got a little something to help you transform your life today.